Welcome to the Character Chronicles, the People Show. Check the Pulse of Nebraska Nation. Brought to you by Nebraska Spine Hospital. Today I have a very special guest with me. He's one of the best to ever play on the defensive side of the ball for the Huskers. All right, former first team All Big Eight, second team All American, the Big Eight newcomer of the year in 1995. Also won a conference title, a national title. Mr. Terrell Farley, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I want to thank you for joining me, and I kind of want to dive right into it. I know you're active on Facebook. It's kind of what prompted this interview. Defensively, okay, what's the biggest thing that stands out to you about the Huskers' defense? And obviously, there's a lot to work on, but from this past Illinois game, from that game specifically, what was the biggest thing that stood out to you about the Huskers' defense?
Just getting off the field on third down and not completing. You know the rule for us, you know, bend but not break. And just not getting off the field on third down, you know, the big plays that other teams have on third down, that's a big success for them, and it kind of lets me down because third down is the real down. You go all out and just try to get off the field.
Yeah, third down is the money down, and the Huskers' defense is actually last in the Big Ten as far as getting opponents off the field on third down. Opponents convert 54% of the time versus Nebraska right now. So this is year three for Scott Frost. It's year three for Eric Chenander's defense. So what is the biggest thing that has stood out for you over the past 3 years when it comes to this Huskers' defense?
Oh, man, it's just the presence. It's not the black shirt of the old days. Somebody needs to step up and be a vocal leader instead of just, you know, getting sacks and get tackles. You know, you need the vocal part of it. You need more than one person out there that can get this team up at any time. You know, I mean, it's great to have four or five leaders on a defense, but you know, as you come together as one, all 11 got to be on the same channel, you know.
Now, what did you think of the coaches handing out black shirts a week ago, and at least for a couple of days, not telling the media who had received those black shirts?
I personally, I don't think it was a great idea for them to hide it like that. Being a black shirt is a great member. It's a great honor to be amongst the greats who put the jerseys on all those years. You know, myself, I got mine 6 weeks into the season, and just to walk out on the field and your players and teammates see you with a black shirt on, that's one of the most happiest feelings. So, you know, I don't understand why would you hide it. If it's mind-boggling to me.
Now, going back to your playing days, so let's talk about that 95 Huskers defense, which was obviously one of the best ever. What are the two or three things or one thing or whatever the case may be that you attribute that success to that you guys had?
We was just 11 monsters that wanted to go out there and just kill somebody and just three and out. I mean, we had an offense that was all world, so we wanted to go out there and set the pace and also show people that we're just not a one-dimensional team and that we've got all three phases of the game from kicking offense to defense. And that's what we need to get installed into these players these days, that, you know, it's going to take all three phases to win a game.
Now, I've always been curious, and I never have, and I've always wanted to ask somebody who played in that 96 Fiesta Bowl for the 95 national title. Now, I've watched the game about 4,922 times since I was a kid, so I can take a guess what the game plan kind of sort of was. But that Florida offense, obviously the fun and gun, spread, pass the ball all over the yard, Steve Spurrier. The next year, Danny Werfel in 96, they win the national title. He wins the Heisman. But in that 95 season, that 96 Fiesta Bowl, what was your guys' game plan going against that high-powered Florida offense?
Our game plan was the same as the first 12 games we played, go out there and dominate and play physical ball. You know, that's what one of the things we did great was play physical ball, and we was able to dominate them both offense and defense. And, you know, we felt a little disrespected because everybody was expecting them to win because of the fun and gun. But just like Coach McBride is a true genius, he came up with a game plan and he blitzed and we covered and we played, we ran and we hit. And the outcome of the game talked for itself.
I will never forget. So I was born in 84, so I was probably about 11, something like that, watching the pregame and watching Corso and Herbstreit and every single guy picked Florida in that pregame. And me as a young kid, I'm like, man, we're number one. How is everybody else picking Florida? I never understood that. But another question I have about that game, is, as the game went along, did you see some intimidation in their eyes? And as the spread and the score got bigger, do you feel like Florida kept fighting, or is it kind of a deal where you guys broke their will a little bit?
I think we broke their will. I think probably around about the second quarter, right before halftime, we really took it to them. And, you know, then come with the third quarter, we just really took them out their element. And it wasn't even a game by the middle of the third quarter, so we was resting our players. And I don't even think I played fourth quarter that much. And, you know, just like the regular season, never played in the fourth quarter too much. And we just gave our younger guys time and a turn to play, and they did great. And we was just a well-oiled machine. We was too deep in every position. We just hammered them.
Now, you played with Coach Frost, Scott Frost, for a couple of years there. What was he like as a teammate when you were there?
Scott was a great teammate. He came in, I think my junior year, he transferred from Stanford, so he ran the scout team a little bit. And we kind of roughed him up, but he took it, and he ran with it. He did a great job, and then the next year he solidified himself as the starter, and we went from there.
Now, let's say Scott hits you up. He says, Terrell, I want you to come speak to the team before the Iowa game. He brings you in. You're going to speak to the team. What would your message be to the team as they head into this Iowa football game on Black Friday?
Don't hold nothing back. Go all out. You know, if you're going to make a mistake, make it fast. If you're going to miss a coverage, if you're going to miss a tackle, miss it fast. You got to take the little mistakes out and just turn something into a positive. You know, it's just – That's the way a defense should play. You know, if you're gonna do it, just do it all out.
Now, you know, third year in Eric Chenander's defense. Okay, we were 3-4 under Diaco. Then we went back to 4-3. Then 3-4. When people ask me, I've seen both defenses be successful. I've seen both defenses win national titles, win Super Bowls. You know, to me, it's never really mattered. Just be really good at whatever it is the heck that you do. Now, if people started talking 3-3-5, I'm not such a fan of those. But Nebraska runs a 3-4. Okay, have you ever had a personal preference, 4-3 or 3-4?
I think I'm more of a 4-3 because you got more of a defensive lineman to help you. And you know, with the three linebackers, you got to have speed and that tough. So the same for me. If you're going to run the 4-3, you got to have a middle tough linebacker, two outside linebackers that can go like we have, like with me, Jamel, and John Hess, Phil Ellis, and just a killer defensive line. You know, I played with one of probably the greatest defensive lines of all time at Nebraska, and to have those guys, how they kept blocks off you, and to roam around free, that 4-3 was a base defense for a wheel linebacker, just to have you open and make tackles.
Now, obviously, we've talked about a lot of things here, a lot of things that need to be corrected for the Huskers. What do you think, and I talked about this on my show yesterday, what do you think is the most realistic thing that the Huskers could get corrected on defense first? Not what needs to be corrected, but what they could actually realistically correct on defense first.
Just the penalties, the stupid penalties with the guy pulling the helmet off and things like that, you know, just got to be mental sharp and play smart, you know, just play smart. Know you're down at distance. Know the situation of third and four, what favorite plays they run. I don't know if they're doing it like that, but we have down at distance, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, they give you what they run out of this situation. You 90% this, 80% that. Just think and play, you know, and just go.
Yeah, see, what's amazing, that's basically what I said yesterday, honestly, and we did not talk about this beforehand, but what's amazing to me is you don't have to run a 4-4, you don't have to be 330 pounds, you don't have to bench press 500 pounds, all you got to do is be mentally focused, aware, and studied up. It doesn't take any physical talent for that. So, all right, so do you have any behind-the-scenes stories, maybe something you've never shared with the fine folks at home that you feel comfortable sharing here on the show?
Yes, it was probably 95, and we was scrimmaging, and Coach McBride, you know, we go ones against ones, and, you know, I come up and make a tackle, he blows the whistle, and I'm thinking I did a good job, but he runs in my face and says, you're never going to be a damn starter if you don't hit nobody, you know, so, yep. You know, make some scrimmages, I run out and I hit people, and that and that solidified my black shirt. You know, I mean, it's enough for just running up in there and making a tackle, but if you can make it and put a pop on it, what coaches really like, and just play the game aggressive and have that will and that passion just to blitz all out, you know, throw your body out there, man. It's called sacrificing. You know what I'm saying? Adam, you did it. We all did it. And you know, as two former black shirts sit here and talk, we need to be better as that as a group.
What was your, because Coach McBride is beloved by former players, okay? What was your favorite thing about playing for Coach Charlie McBride?
Yeah, he would tell us he finna turn us loose. You know, turn us loose, and he finna blitz, and that's one thing he did against Florida. You know, I still hear the story today that people said when he was up in the press box and they heard, and he was like, turn them loose, let these boys go. You know, because we was ready to play, and we was trying to figure them out first. And then when he threw the blitzes in there and everything, the stunt with the blitzes, and we was, so it was a great feeling to have Coach tell us just go.
Now, one last question for you. All right, Iowa, it's kind of sort of a rivalry. I don't know. It feels one-sided at the moment, obviously. But we're playing on Black Friday, so at least we're keeping that tradition alive a little bit. Do you have a score prediction, okay, for Iowa versus Nebraska come this Friday?
I would say 24-20 Nebraska.
Ooh, all right. I like that right there. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you joining me. Thank you for your time, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right, throw the bones, man.
All right, until next time, Husker Nation, go Big Red, and always remember, like Terrell said, to throw the bones.
Throw the bones.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Nebraska Spine Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's your spine, you do not want to mess around, and experience matters. That's why you can trust the experts at Nebraska Spine Hospital, the region's only spine-specific hospital. They are the best at what they do.